League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town?
U.S. Open's get going. I know you guys are all jacked up about that.
I can't wait for Raleigh Martin to win. I don't know any golfers.
Okay. Or
I looked up the odds just to see.
Yeah.
And Dustin Johnson apparently is the favorite at a plus 750.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, you keep an eye on that old Adam Scott.
You could. I mean, he's a major champion. I told Josh Rapp, who's our resident golf fanatic.
And JJ,
but JJ's not as, yeah, he doesn't get into it as much with tweets and social media and
right.
Everything.
He doesn't nerd out like Josh does.
He asked me to break it down because the course is in my hometown, and I just said, it fits Dustin Johnson perfectly, and I didn't see the odds, but
yep, plus 750 for old DJ.
Now here's the thing about that I don't know if you guys saw, and not to talk golf, but this is completely non-golf related.
I thought we were headed that way.
So the tournament starts today, but you know, like all golf tournaments, but especially the majors, they fly a blimp. Blimp burst this morning.
What?
And
like
started
your dog's
to like,
anal sack.
So like it's yeah exactly. So the but minus the booty juice, the blimp starts deflating. The pilots had to parachute out.
Shut up.
Yeah. So I put it
best
on my
U.S. Open ever.
I tweeted it. There's a guy from a distance who kind of goes what the and sees it with his phone and then zooms in, and you can kind of see the guys bailing out, but you can see the blimp just shriveling up in the air and starting to come down to earth.
That is fantastic.
It was nuts.
I mean, it's fantastic that they're safe. Don't get me wrong. I don't want anyone to get injured.
Right.
But a blimp bursting over a golf tournament?
Crazy, right?
That's pretty cool.
Because like when you're getting ready to park your car, if you've ever gone to a golf tournament, you're like, well, you know where the course is because the blimp's always hovering around it.
Because it gets the aerial shots, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there goes that camera equipment.
Oof, boy. That's a good call, too.
Yeah.
Plus, those blimps ain't cheap as it is.
Oh, last time I bought a blimp, it set me back a couple grand.
Well, I thought it was dinner and a movie. There's different ways to look at blimps.
That's true. Okay, so we've got to do this straight away. By the way, it's Throwback Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Because we forgot way back Wednesday for the second time since this show's been in existence.
We're not
Who's going first?
About it. I mean, because you can do okay. So I sent you the one replacement song, but instead of the one replacement song, you can take it out, and I'll take the first hour.
Joel's trying to stack his list with songs from the 80s when he knows damn well we said 90s club.
Which
bangers.
Was the last song that you took out?
Mars
pump,
up, the
pump
volume.
Up the volume.
That's from like 87. Can't.
Last
it's
time
illegal.
I saw it was more like 90.
No, so. No, you had like 99 2000 on your thing.
I looked it up on. I did what Nick did. I went YouTube first, and then
what we all do.
Never trust
saying,
YouTube because that's where
go,
they upload.
You
no,
play
I do,
them
I
off
do.
Of YouTube, so that's the first thing I look at, and then I look for like production date.
But that's usually like when they upload it. A lot of times, the date you'll see is when it was uploaded.
So that's
not
why
necessarily
I learned
released.
To like go to. You just put the title and the word song, and then they'll go back to
Google's
when it was released.
And the Google's,
yeah, and Google it, and it'll release. It.
Yeah. So So Joel tried to cheat.
Of course.
But I didn't want him to be disqualified, so I let him know, hey, there's some infringements on your scorecard.
I Belichick.
There's some infractions.
Yeah, and he also embellished and said, half your list is out of date.
Which, by the way, four of his eight songs.
I didn't check. I saw that email, but
two or three.
No, don't make me run through this, Joel. Don't
you
make me
Barry
run
well.
Through this.
You know Barry Wells. You know he's going to check.
Look, I'm pulling it up right now. Let's go through your original list. Pump Up the Volume, Mars. Nope. Joy and Pain, Rob Bass. Nope. What was that? Where was the other one? Was it?
Do you think I'm going to help you with this?
I know, right? I'm gonna do these all because I looked at them because I was like, some of those are from the 80s. I know they are.
Is it fair to notate that again? You were Quick Draw McGraw to get that first list in.
You knew about this yesterday. You had all night to send that list in. We talked about this. You had 24 hours to send the list in, Joel. Now you're being petty. Because
no,
you had 24 hours to send in your list. You could have went home and done your list last night at 5 o'clock. But you didn't. And
I cheated? You know, the list that I submitted
I even had
was
to
from a list
myself.
That said 90s club hit, top 100 90s club hits. So for when I was pulling songs.
Never trust the man, though. That's what I learned. Never trust the man. Because they'll steer you wrong. Some people just, they don't care. They're not being anal like I am about it. They're not being picky. They're not getting disqualified. You guys disqualified me from my one win because
because you Belichicked and you got caught.
One time. That's why.
This would be my one time.
Like Bruce Springsteen said, we didn't start the fire. Wasn't that him?
That was Billy Joel.
Oh, well, whatever.
It's close enough.
I don't know music.
You know enough.
So today's you'll be hearing club songs.
Of the 90s. Damn well better be within the 90s.
I need to check Nick's list. I haven't done that yet. I don't trust Nick not a bit. I trust you way more than I trust
what?
Nick, by the way.
Wow.
How many times have I done that?
Like all the time.
Yeah,
this
you
is
have
Joel's
that,
first.
Yeah. No, you,
this
you,
is
you
the first brought, time you, Joel. And I don't think Joel was cheating. I think he just thought, oh, this is from the 90s. Like you said, you pulled up a list.
You know
and
what?
You
I
just
think
relied
I that,
on the list.
I think I had that one hiccup, and you're exaggerating right now. That's
no, like it's almost
first of all,
every.
It's not
week.
Out of the realm of possibilities ever that he's exaggerating. But
I don't
yes,
do that.
You and I have each had our violation. I had mine today, and you've had at least one. So I would say it's probably one. And Barry knows he got disqualified for one, but now he's become the song police. So you got your badge, and you got your nightstick, and you got it your way.
I got it my way.
Yeah, I
by following
I
the rules.
The
here
song.
You go. Company B, Fascinated, released 1987. Did you change that one?
Did I pull that one?
I don't
I
know.
That
did you?
Too.
That's
I believe
that's the
I did.
First. That's the Pump Up the Volume. Mars was 1987. So that's two of your eight right there. I think Joy and Pain was what 88.
If we're going to keep doing this while we spend time doing it, let's mention the fact that we have got a great baseball guest coming up at 1:15. Buster Olney of ESPN
yes.
is going to join us again. It's only because he loves the show.
Talk Red Sox.
Red Sox and the Astros this weekend. Lots of good stuff. If you want to hear his latest podcast, it's full of good stuff. I retweeted it this morning. He also does a one-on-one with Jose Altuve. But he will be in town covering Red Sox and your Astros for Sunday Night Baseball, so he'll be able to talk all things Astros. If you have any questions in the meantime, you want to get to us that we might consider asking him, you can hit us up on the HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776, where you can text us the questions and or you can call the show. And you can also always hit us up on Twitter. He is the producer, Nick. You are at Barry is Funny, and I am at Pac-Man Joel with a K. So if you want to get in, on any of that, Buster Olney coming up right after this brief time out. So the show starts with a bang. Before we get to the Buster Olney, I do want to tell you about the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. Fantastic program here in the Houston area for kids trying to get a second chance at an education in Houston. And it's all because of Houstonians that they are able to achieve these dreams. All you got to do is look around your field, your garage, your backyard. If you got a clunker that's collecting rust and dust, it may not even be working. But if you donate it to the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program, you're making a difference. 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. Let them know where you live. Let them know what you got. They do the rest. They come to you with a tow truck and all the paperwork completed. They fill it out. They take away the vehicle. They give you a great tax deduction. And just for mentioning ESPN 97.5, a $50 gift card. But that's when the process really begins. They turn that vehicle into resources for kids trying to get an education. And that means book money. That means warm meals, bus fare, eyeglasses, all the things that can be a distraction as they're trying to obtain these goals. I'm telling you right now, it's a great program, and it's because of deductions from people like you. 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid. I'll be your fantasy, your
favorite bitch. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I don't care if you are going to give me hell about this.
No, I like this. This is the intro we're bringing Buster Olney onto the show with, his Baby Got Back. I wonder if that's like his walkout music.
We should ask him. Buster, what would your walkout music be?
Yeah, we can bring him in. We'll find out.
Well, let's find out. All right, so you know him from the ESPN broadcast and Sunday Night Baseball, as well as all of his fantastic baseball coverage. You can find him and follow him at Buster_ESPN on Twitter. And if you really are a baseball fanatic, it is worth your while to check out his podcast. I also retweeted his podcast from this week because he also has a one-on-one interview with Jose Altuve. You can also find that podcast under his Twitter account. So check him out. We welcome in Buster Olney for the second time in, what, about 3 weeks? Buster, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. It's Barry and Joel and Nick.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good, man. Looks like you're coming to our fair city again. That means that we must have a team that's worth following and watching in a big series against the Red Sox coming up.
Yeah, and I suppose I'm going to be seeing a lot of them during the course of the year. When you look at that lead in the American League West and you look at the potential and you know what they can do in the trade market, they are the best team in the American League. I think right now they're the best team in baseball, no doubt about it.
Well, Buster, I got to ask you right off the bat, did you have a chance to watch last night's game? And if so, what were your thoughts on Martez and Derek Fisher making their debuts?
I was going back and forth between games. Martez, I was surprised because, and I'm sure you guys talked about his control numbers in the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd heard from scouts that, you know, he's far from a finished product. They wondered about his command. So to see him finish off that way with the breaking ball that he did and, you know, and allowing one run over five innings, that was really impressive. And when I saw Fisher's home run, my first thought was that they're probably, given the nature of his swing, you know, opposite field, under control, I'm sure that there were pitching coaches with other teams, pitchers, catchers going, oh, great, one more guy to deal with in that lineup that's already so deep. He looks like he could certainly be someone, if they need, can help them out during the course of the year. Pretty talented.
I was going to say, too, we know that they've had pretty much every pitcher in their rotation hit the DL. They've had a little bit of a down swoon because of it. But when you hear any rumors and any conversations about the Astros trying to add a starter, one, if not both of those guys' names pop up. That's why some people were surprised that they brought Fisher up. But are those the two guys that can kind of bring in someone that everybody's been rumoring could be added to the Astros rotation?
Yeah, I've heard from folks with other teams. They feel like that, you know, the number one chip everyone always is asking the Astros about is Alex Bregman. You know, a guy who could play, you know, shortstop, he could play third base, he could certainly, he's someone who's attracted to other teams. But in past talks, I can't tell you this is going on this summer per se, the Astros basically put a wall around Alex and said, you're not touching this guy. And if you're not going to put him in the deal, then those two guys would probably be at the top of the list. And, you know, this week I actually did a piece, worked on a piece about, you know, what each teams are going to do. And all the executives with other teams that I spoke with all believe that the Astros absolutely by July 31st, they're going to wind up with one of the best starting pitchers in the marketplace. Because, I mean, this is a team that you invest in. It has a chance to win the World Series. They clearly have an issue with the rotation in terms of depth, at the very least, if Dallas Keuchel comes back. And I don't know how you guys feel about it, and I always feel like teams can, they don't have to tell us everything that's going on, but when you hear the bits and pieces of information about Dallas Keuchel, you kind of wonder, like, is there more than what they're actually telling us about his situation, which, you know, I'm assuming would push them to adding a front of the rotation type guy.
Yeah, I think everybody here is concerned when you had everyone pretty much in the starting rotation on the disabled list. That does not make I don't think it gives fans a warm fuzzy, that's for sure. So let me ask you, Mookie Betts coming into town this weekend with the Red Sox. Should Astros fans be worried? I mean, he's raised his average 21 points in the last week. He's, you know, he had a couple of home runs and three RBIs last night. Is he heating up and this Red Sox team is starting to get on a roll?
Yeah, he is. And he's one of the best players in the American League. I think that it's neat having conversation with him because he really reminds you of like a great math student who is perpetually looking to solve problems. And there's a part of him, he's very understated, but there's a part of him that absolutely believes that he's going to solve whatever issue has been bothering him. Chili Davis, their hitting coach, has told me this. And so he struggled in recent weeks, and in the last few days, it feels like he's starting to gather momentum. And part of his greatness is not only about, you know, how good of a hitter he is. I actually had a longtime evaluator say to me last week that in this evaluator's mind, and I wish he could tell you the guy's name, but he won't let me use his name. Certainly someone you would recognize told me he's the best right fielder that he's ever seen. He covers Wow. more ground in front of him than any right fielder he's ever seen. There's some great base running metrics. He's among the top five base runners in all of baseball. He's a very well-rounded player that we're going to be talking a lot about for the next 15 years or so.
Where are the Red Sox with their pitching, Buster? Simply because David Price got roughed up a little bit by the Yankees. He's now back in their rotation, but definitely not the David Price of old. We all know about Chris Sale. Porcello's been a roller coaster. Where are they rotationally, and is their pitching their biggest concern?
It is their biggest concern. Their rotation is their biggest concern. They don't hit a lot for a lot of power this year. They're not hitting a lot of home runs. But I think the question of how far they go in the postseason or if they make it to the postseason is going to be dependent on how their rotation does going forward. Look, David Price, in his four starts since coming off the disabled list, he does not have the command that what we've seen in the past. And maybe he gets back to having that. But he's gotten hit around a little bit. He's going to be pitching on Sunday night. Chris Sale probably right now would be the front runner to win the Cy Young Award in the American League with Dallas, you know, on the disabled list. Porcello won the Cy Young Award last year, but he hasn't had the kind of command that he had last season. So it's a spotty rotation. And last night, Brian Johnson, who'd given them a lift off the after being called up from the minor leagues, he just went on the disabled list with a shoulder issue. So the thought among other teams is that the Red Sox, like the Yankees, like the Astros, probably are going to be active and looking for a starting pitcher. But I think in a bidding situation, they don't have as many prospects as either the Yankees or the Astros to land somebody.
Yeah, talk a little bit about this team. You mentioned the power numbers. I was noticing that you know they're in the they're not doing well for home run wise. I mean, Benintendi is leading the team in RBIs with Betts right behind him, and combined those guys have 20 home runs. Do they need to add a bat as well? Is that something they're going to look at towards the trade deadline?
Yeah, they're looking. Their big area of need is third base. They came into the year hoping that Pablo Sandoval was going to be in better shape and be able to hold down that position, but he got injured. And then Brock Holt, who was sort of their second-line guy, began to deal with some vertigo, and they have been scrambling at that spot. Pablo's tried to come back. He's having some defensive issues because he's been playing with a brace, and there's a lot of speculation in Boston about whether or not at some point the Red Sox may just wave the white flag and say, you know what, we're just going to cut you free. Halfway through his contract, $95 million contract. And other teams think that they'll be in the market for a third baseman. And if you want to move now, that means Todd Frazier of the White Sox. If you want to wait, the Royals eventually may sell Mike Moustakas, their third baseman. He's a free agent in the fall. And another guy they might normally go after would be Anjervis Solarte of the Padres. A switch hitter fits in a lot of ways. But if you guys remember last year, after Drew Pomerantz was traded to the Red Sox, Red Sox found out that the Padres withheld medical information, and so the relationship between those two front offices right now, not good. It's like a cold war. That's the big issue. I think going into Sunday night, I did a look at the numbers this morning, but the Red Sox, incredibly, last in the American League in home runs, which hasn't happened since 1990, and as of Sunday morning, they had no guys in double digits with home runs. The Yankees, by comparison, had six.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Because that's why I hesitated, because I thought I saw that they were third to last in the majors in home runs, and I must have read that wrong. That's why I kind of hesitated to bring it up. Is Benintendi living up to the hype? Is he still on track to win that Rookie of the Year like everyone thought?
No, Aaron Judge is going to win the Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
I think he's a candidate to win the Triple Crown. He'll win. And Benintendi has had some stretches where he hasn't looked good, but guy, I mean, this guy is going to be around for a long time. He started to dig himself out of his early season slump in the last couple weeks. He looks better. He has such a nice natural swing in the way he naturally he lofts the ball that I think he's going to be really dangerous. The Red Sox had actually hoped that Benintendi would make up for some of the power they lost when David Ortiz left. But one way or the other, he's a good offensive player, and it seems like, you know, as with Mookie Betts, the Astros are catching him at the wrong time.
Well, Buster, Pedro keeps insinuating that Poppy may not be retired for long, and because of all these home run woes, that he'll be coming back. Any chance there's reality there?
You know, I have held out in the back of my brain, and asked, is Ortiz done? I've never said absolutely for a couple reasons. I actually had a conversation with David last April of 2016 in the visitor's dugout in Houston and asked him about, is there any way you might reconsider this? And he goes, well, give me a Roger Clemens deal. Like, he gets to come back in mid-season. And Pedro Martinez, since the end of last season, has been on him. Come on, Dave, you got to try it. You got to try it. You got to try it. You know, you're too good of a hitter. He was one of the best offensive players in baseball last year. Now, I talked to Ortiz a few weeks ago, and he told me absolutely not. You know, I have too much pain in my feet, but this is one. I mean, we learned from Brett Favre. You never know, right?
All right, Buster. We let in. It's our Throwback Thursday. So before we let you go, just a quick question: if you had walk-up music walking up to the dish, what would you pick?
Oh boy! Well, my kids will absolutely attest that my musical taste stopped sometime in the 1980s. So it probably would have to be something from Prince. Right? That for me, or something, that probably would be it.
Buster, you're a baseball guy in the 80s. Why are you not going with the outfield? Like, Play Deep was a great album. What?
Nah.
That doesn't make any sense.
I was more of a Prince and Police guy myself.
Okay, all
well,
right.
If you go Prince, at least you can work in Diamonds and Pearls, and we've got Diamonds like a baseball diamond, and we'll go that route.
There you go. See, well, that would be too mellow for baseball, right?
Yes.
All right.
Let's Go Crazy. It would probably have to be Let's Go Crazy.
There you go.
I was going to use Sexy, but we can't use that on the air. So, Buster only, we always appreciate the time. Again, follow him at Buster_ESPN, and he will be doing the game Sunday Night Baseball. It's the Red Sox at your Astros. Buster, thanks so much for your time.
See you guys.
Buster only right there. Good guess, good get. Lots of good stuff right there leading to Sunday Night Baseball. All right, we'll continue to work on Throwback Thursday, and I'm in the first hour, and we'll come back with much more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. You like to move it.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, gang, you're always looking for something to do, and of course, it's always better when it's free. Well, how about this? They are going to do a free screening at the River Oaks Theater of Long Way From Home this Wednesday, June the 14th, 7 p.m. And guess what, Nick? That was yesterday. So, the free screening is over. So, We will find the fact that we're going to have plenty of giveaways to do today, and it's going to be for stuff that hasn't already passed. I don't know why I didn't screen this, but I didn't.
See? Got him! See, that's what happens.
Yeah.
This is why I ask for at least two segments to review these before I have to read them.
So, there you have that. So, we're back. Good stuff with Buster only.
I like Buster. He's
a good dude.
He is. He knows his stuff, too. And how dumb am I to forget Aaron Judge is a rookie? He doesn't play like a rookie.
God, is he raking?
That's part
or what?
Of the problem.
I was watching him last night.
That dude
too.
Plays like a vet.
How intimidating is that kid at the plate? He kind of is Blake Griffin with a baseball uniform on because he's tall.
That's a good call.
Looks like
yeah.
it.
And, got and, that kind of that you know that hey, what's going on? I don't understand yeah. what's happening right now. Look on his face.
And they said after playing just the Angels last night, they're going to Oakland. He's from Northern California. They said it is going to be a media zoo.
Oh, I bet
in Oakland.
Yeah. I bet. So do you want to talk Astros or do you want to talk McGregor Mayweather.
I think it's the biggest story, and I thought about it today, that you guys are the experts, but you guys have said all along that if it happens, it's not worth it, and it's going to be more of the hype leading into it than the actual, but I think it's definitely the number one story out there. I think you guys should definitely break it down.
I just don't – I mean, so it's going to happen now. It's inevitable. If you haven't heard –
August 26th.
Yeah, if you they've signed the paperwork, it's a done deal. It's going down. It's a sideshow. Anyone that pays for this isn't very smart.
You know how boxing always has, you know how they're so top heavy, and if there's like a Floyd Mayweather fight especially, that everybody's going to wait for that very last fight and the undercard is essentially meaningless despite having respectable fighters on the card. That's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to see a boxing card that everybody's going to wait for, only for the main event.
Right.
They're not going to tune into the undercard.
Well, and my question for you guys is, if these two guys coming from different universes are going to match up and fight, and everything is going to be nothing but boxing rules, does McGregor have a chance? And I mean, isn't it even the glove size? Now, is the glove size going to stay boxing gloves?
Yeah, it'll be boxing gloves. It should be 10 ounces.
So, I mean, how does McGregor have a shot? Yeah, 10 ounces is right.
Yeah, he doesn't. In fact, Max Kellerman said he would be surprised if Conor McGregor hits Floyd Mayweather one time, which I think is silly.
Mm-hmm.
He'll probably hit him at least once. I mean, come on. Maybe twice. You're already hearing from Stephen A. Smith and Stephen A. Smith made a really good point about the fight, that it's kind of, there's other boxers waiting their turn.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, deserve a shot way more than Conor McGregor. And I agree, but the problem is, you know, it's supposedly this is what the fans want to see. I just don't believe that.
Really?
I don't believe that.
So who do you think stirred up this idea of having a fight between Conor McGregor
Here's
and Floyd
the thing.
Mayweather?
I think they're crap-talking did.
I think the promoters realized how much money could be made off of two of the most hated, combat sports people in the world. Everyone loves to hate Floyd. Everyone now loves to hate Conor McGregor. Two of the best guys at selling a pay-per-view. They're calling each other out. Let's make the fight and everyone make millions. That's what I think is driving this, not the fans.
But that, I think that is fan-fueled. The fact that everybody wants to see that makes it fan-fueled.
I think there is a segment of the population that wants to see this, but I don't think true, like hardcore, dyed-in-the-wool mixed martial arts fans want to see this. I don't think the boxing purists, the sweet science, you know, PhD guys, they don't want to see this either because they know that this doesn't make any sense. I liken it to a rugby team playing an NFL team on NFL rules, or an NFL team playing a rugby team in rugby rules. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
it's
two
similar sports, but it's not the same thing.
The sport itself has a lot to lose, but the guys themselves, being marketing geniuses, said it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, we're going to rake in so much coin that whatever else happens. Because, I mean, to your point, if McGregor somehow lands a punch and ends up winning this thing, not that he's favored to do so, but if he would, the sweet science takes a big black eye.
Well,
boxing is like, man, that shit.
I'll tell you what, you talk about favored. ESPN said that Mayweather is currently a -1100.
Yep. Yep.
Why are they even having the fight then? -1100 would be like if I fought Floyd Mayweather. That's ridiculous. There's no reason that this should be happening. If the two combatants are -1100 and +700, that tells you how far apart these are skill-wise when it comes to pure boxing. There's no reason this fight should be taking place except for money. And that's what Stephen A. Smith was saying. We have audio of Dana White kind of coming back and as a rebuttal to what Stephen A. Smith said about this being for the fans.
Said in the boxing community, these are Stephen A.'s words. This match is, quote, disgusting to people in boxing and a complete disgrace. What do you say to that?
Well, I think that, you know, I don't know how many people really feel that way. Oscar feels that way because Oscar didn't get the fight. If I was doing this deal with Oscar right now, he'd be far from disgusted. I promise you that one. But at the end of the day, anybody who knows anything about fighting, when two men get in there and they square off and they start throwing punches, anything is possible. Anything is possible. And, you know, this isn't one of those things where we put together you know, some type of crazy fight for no reason. This is a fight that the fans demanded. The fans wanted to see this fight. It's the most talked about fight on the planet right now, and it will be the biggest fight ever in the history of two people punching each other. So they can be as disgusted as they want. It's what people want to see.
See, I call Bolsheviki. I scared you, didn't I? Ooh. Yeah, that's what my aunt used to say, because she would never cuss. She wouldn't even say, like, damn. She would say darn and heck and okay. Bolsheviki. I call BS because if Dana White was really interested in making fights that the fans wanted, we would have seen Anderson Silva and GSP fight a long time ago. There was no money in that, because if either one of those guys lost, then he would have lost one of his two cash cows at the time. What he's not concerned about here, he knows McGregor's going to lose, but the payday is too big for everyone involved.
What's I'm saying?
And the way McGregor's not even fighting, what's he losing anyway?
They're two marketing geniuses, and McGregor figures for all the money that he can make being the best at his sport, it's not close to what he can make in boxing. And in this one event, regardless of what the outcome is, he's going to rake in more than if he what?
$75 million. He's never making that in
that's
one
fight. That's what I'm saying. So how many fights would it have taken him in UFC to come close to this? That's why
years.
He doesn't care if he's...
Exactly.
So what you have, here's how I think it started. I think Conor wanted it, just like you said, as a payday. And he goes and he takes to Twitter and he takes to social media and he calls out Floyd. Well, nobody does that to Floyd, especially when it's a big name who's as polarizing as Conor McGregor. Then they go back and forth. The fans are interested. There's no way, in my opinion, there's no doubt in my mind that the promoters, because the promoters are who? Mayweather Promotions and Dana White. Mayweather's the one who's promoting the entire card, but they're the two that work together. They didn't come up and say, you know what, let's have a fight between Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. A buzz was created, and then they decided to make
it. I think you're underestimating the stuff that happens behind the scenes. In fact, well, here's what I'll challenge you to do. There is a timeline on ESPN that shows you exactly how this all came about. And it started off with a few simple comments, but if you read between the lines, you can see the posturing taking place behind the scenes with Dana White and Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor. This is planned, dude. This is, trust me.
I completely disagree.
Not 6 months ago, Dana White came out, and I'll find the exact date. Dana White came out and said, this is all a rumor. There is no fight. They are not close. And here we are 6 months later, and guess what? There's a fight.
Yeah, because the buzz was created.
No, dude, yeah. This has been going on for 2 years.
Four months ago, you said this fight wasn't even going to happen.
That's right. That's what I thought, too.
Yeah.
Because that's what we were led to believe.
Dana didn't even know it wasn't going to happen.
Here's the thing, though. This is a cash grab for Dana White and
of course,
and the rest.
Now that the buzz is created, absolutely.
Big no, time. Because if you read between the lines, my point about the fans not wanting this and this being strictly for the money, if you read between the lines, what's the one thing he said? Besides the fact that he said the fans wanted this, he said Oscar De La Hoya is mad because he's not getting the money. This is all about promoters and what they're making. This has nothing to do with the fans clamoring to see a retired Floyd Mayweather fight an MMA guy who's never boxed around in boxing in his life.
When you have someone,
trust
as,
me, the fans don't want to see that. It's
when you have
terrible.
Someone as polarizing as Conor McGregor going up to somebody and say, "Hey, I want to talk crap and tell you, I'm gonna tell you in your face, I'm gonna knock you out." That's gonna make
then
fans want to see the fight.
Then watch wrestling, because that's what they do.
But that's what he did. He created the buzz. There's no doubt in my mind that Dana White or any of the promoters said, you know what, we're going to create this fight and this is going to happen. They had no clue that this fight was going to happen. The buzz made it happen. Same thing with the Daniel Cormier fight. Some dude started talking crap on the internet and got a fight against light heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier. Are you kidding me? That's because the buzz was created. The promoters had no clue that fight was going to come about.
Conor McGregor just...
had no clue.
Yes.
They're both marketing geniuses. But
they had
Conor
no clue
McGregor's
that Daniel Cormier fight was going
to
happen.
Was getting this to fruition, to get it to be a signed deal, because he's going to collect.
July 2nd, 2015, Conor McGregor says, I would box him if the opportunity arose. That was it.
Who started the buzz? Conor.
But that was a simple question and a simple answer. Let me tell you what, where Dana White gets involved, let's see. Less than a month later, a flurry of rumors swirl into the possible negotiations. Dana White, May 6, 2016, says, Dana White, it's not true, it's just a tabloid story.
I bet you he had no clue this fight was going to happen.
Come on, bro.
He did.
You're smarter than that, Nick.
No, he
did. You've got to be smarter than that.
I know I'm smarter than that, but I'm telling you right now, they had no clue that this fight was going to happen. I'm telling you. If you had Dana White on the air right now and you ask him, did you think this fight was going to happen? He would say no. He would say no.
Yeah, because he knows that they're in the background negotiating and
there's
working
no
on
way
this.
You're going to convince me into that. There's no way.
Okay.
All right, so the discussion goes on, but the ink is on paper, and it's going to happen. It's going to be August the 26th. Boxing rules, Mayweather, McGregor. Right now, I want to tell you guys about the great people at Window World. They are great at saving you money on your energy bills and giving you windows and getting you windows that are going to make sure that they keep your house cool in the summer and warm in the winter without throwing money away. Right now, you get $189 a window plus $45 for Solar Zone Low E, which meets Texas energy regulations. And the great thing about all of this is they are going to come to you. You're going to ask for a written estimate. They're going to give it to you, and then they're not going to bug you again. If you want the job done and done right, they're going to do it. There's no hassles or high pressure, but they're going to come to your house, check out what you got, tell you what you need, tell you what it's going to cost, and then leave the rest up to you. That has gotten Window World to become the country's number one window company, and they obtained the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. So call the people at Window World, 713-439-1172, or go to windowworldhouston.com. Talk to them and get that free written estimate. Start the process. It can end right there, or it can take you all the way to lower energy bills and a more efficient energy-saving house. Again, windowworldhouston.com, 713-439-1172. Window World, simply the best. For last, give him a call.
Everybody over here, everybody over there. The crowd is live.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Throwback Thursday continues, and the discussion continues as my two experts continue to battle it out on this McGregor.
We should fight and Mayweather. I'll fight you.
I'll go back and forth all day.
Here's another thing to keep in mind about what's going on behind the scenes, about everyone involved in making this fight happen for the money. All right. If you recall, and this is in the timeline now, this is in the timeline on ESPN.com. If you recall, August 17, 2016, Conor McGregor fined $150,000 for the UFC 202 bottle-throwing incident. That put a possible fight in jeopardy with NSAC, in the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Okay, fast forward a little bit to February 15th. NSAC willing to grant Conor a boxing license in order to keep a possible fight in Vegas. So they want the money to stay in Vegas. Everybody does.
Who's willing to grant Conor boxing
license? The Nevada State Athletic Commission, the same one that's thinking about fining him and suspending him for throwing bottles. Now, hold on, because it gets better, because then on March 22nd, Conor McGregor's fine downgraded to $25,000 and 25 hours of community service. He should now be cleared to apply for a boxing license in Nevada. Dude, everybody's in on this. This has nothing to do with the fans clamoring. This is a cash grab for everyone involved in this fight.
If you remember that story, the reason why it was downgraded, I forgot what the initial sanction or punishment was. It was absolutely ridiculous.
It was $150,000. I just told you. $150,000 in risk of suspension for throwing bottles at people.
That's why it was downgraded. It was downgraded because it was a ridiculous punishment. It's the same thing with the Nick Diaz situation. When they suspended him 5 years for positive test for marijuana, please. And they immediately downgraded it because they realized how ridiculous of a punishment it was.
I'm just telling you, when you go from what they did to what he got, that was so he could fight again, because he wasn't going to be able to fight. He was going to have to be suspended, and this fight wouldn't have happened.
There's no clue. What happens when Dana White gets a star like Conor McGregor and he gets him under contract, you know what he needs him to do? He needs him to fight inside the octagon as many times as possible. Why? Because he's the moneymaker. He just needs him to fight. Now, if there's a potential fight that comes about in the midst of everything, like a Floyd Mayweather, he's absolutely going to do it. But you know what? Right when he's done with that Floyd Mayweather fight, he's going to turn around and get back into the octagon and fight again.
Well, there's no doubt about that.
Because he's under contract.
I get that. Because he needs him to fight.
But Dana's
what I'm telling you is this whole fight has nothing to do with the people wanting it. This fight is all about the money. That's it.
It became about the money when people wanted it. There's no money if people don't want it. Okay. There's no money to be made if people are not asking for a fight. Zero.
You're correct. People are going to pay for this.
Yes.
You are absolutely right.
And I bet
right.
you it's $125 pay-per-view.
But to say that it's this is the fight that needed to be made.
To say that Dana White planned this is completely inaccurate and false. He had no idea
Dana
this was going to happen.
Dana White's getting a piece of the pie, so he knows that whatever piece he gets had no clue this was going to happen. Huge.
just put it this way. Dana White has been trying to, he comes from a boxing background, okay? He's a boxing promoter first before he became an MMA promoter. Trust me when I tell you boxing promoters, because this stuff happens on the local level. I know promoters locally that do stuff like this. I'm telling you that this stuff happens behind the scenes all the time in boxing and in MMA.
So he breaks the news on Facebook. And people start asking questions like, ooh, how about we see Anderson Silva fight Roy Jones Jr.? And how about we see this MMA fighter fight this boxing fighter? And then the question following, up with that was, are we going to start seeing more of these cross promotions? Or are we going to start seeing MMA fighters going to fight in boxing fights? And you know what Dana White said? I hope not.
Yeah,
you know why? Because he doesn't even know if this is a possibility. He doesn't even know that there's gonna that there may be a situation where people start clamoring Anderson Silva to fight a boxer, and he'll put on the fight if there's money to be made.
Okay, we're just talking in a circle now, but I mean I've made my point.
Are you not telling? Are you saying that Bob Arum and Don King types
what
would try and be shady?
What? Are you saying that in Bellator that they would bring in guys to do a wrestling kind of moves? What? That stuff happens?
Now, before we wrap this up, though, do you guys believe that now, because they all said that everybody wanted and clamored for the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight, but they wanted it when they were in their prime. By the time they actually did it, it was a cash grab, and it was just to try and get both guys like a final big payday. This seems like it's going to trump every criticism of that one.
What do you mean?
In terms of the cash grab. Because of the fact, you said, it's so heavily favored in Mayweather. In this case of the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight, they were both past their prime. So you weren't getting what everybody really wanted to see when, and by the time they got to it, it was too late. But yet they still got paid, and it wasn't worth it. This time, it seems like, even though it's one guy being heavily favored over the other because it's all boxing rules, that they're both going to get paid, and it's probably not going to be worth it.
Yeah, and it's not. It's going to be a boring ass fight, I guarantee you, because Mayweather's not going to be able to knock Conor McGregor out. Conor McGregor's not going to be able to really land anything good on Mayweather. It's going to be Mayweather just backing up for 10, 12, whatever round.
Crap talking gets McGregor to go nuts.
I'm curious. What do you think they're going to charge Nick for this fight?
Nick said $100.
$125 to $150. I'm convinced.
Dude, that is insane.
I'm convinced. I really believe.
Would
that.
You pay that for this?
Absolutely not.
Hell no.
No.
Not in a million years
and
would I pay $100.
A good point too.
I don't want to pay $70
better
for
at least have some kind of interest.
No one's going to even care.
They're going to have to pay these two. Yeah, they're going to have to pay these two guys and the promoters. There's no way they're splitting that kind of cash with an undercard.
The press conference is going to be an event in itself.
It's good. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me, Nick, if they don't actually have it as a 30-minute televised press conference with commercials.
This is the LeBron announce. This is the decision.
That's, I mean, because you've got the two best mouths in combative sports.
Yep.
That's what this is all. But that's why this fight happened.
Only one person wins the momentum of the crowds. That's why this press conference is going to be so.
Well, the fans are going to win. The fans will pick who's the heel and who's the good guy. They're going to pick that, right?
But who's it going to be? Like, I cannot tell.
Underdog is McGregor, but because he's so hated with his tongue.
Yeah, but I think the fans like that. Like, you know, Dominic Cruz used to be hated, and now people like that dude. I have a feeling that it's going to be McGregor, but it wouldn't surprise me if Floyd tries to maneuver it so that he's the good guy in all this, because I think deep down he doesn't like being the heel, but he just knows that's how you make money, is being the bad guy and being the a-hole. I could see him wanting to be the good guy for this. You know what I mean?
Dana White did say he's been really easy. I know this is early, but he said he's been really easy to deal with.
That doesn't surprise me.
So we'll see.
Here's a good text. This might be the best text of the day. They texted in and said, Barry sucks. That's a great.
I'm sure someone
that is, sir,
hated on me too.
What a great life. What a great life you live, sir. Good for you. Good job, buddy. Actually, I think.
The ideal song for that person.
Snap,
yeah.
The power.
Yeah.
It's not bad. This is an old school one right here. Somebody texted and said it's going to be $99.99. No, I think Nick has like insider info. $125,
no, that's just
right?
My guess.
Oh, it's just your guess? Okay. I thought maybe you had some sources. A lot of people are saying, hey, watch it on Cody.
Shh. We've quietly been giving you tips like that for a long time.
I'm not saying that.
I'm not touching that one. You're on your own, pal. All right, so we got 1 hour in the books, two more to go in the show. Hopefully all of you caught that screening last night at the River Oaks Theater. And hopefully you guys are ready for a strong finish to the week here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
714, live, divine, maniac, radiac,
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.